Genesis chapter 6.
The Apostle Paul told us that the Old Testament was for an example to us. The stories, the accounts, the worship, everything that was done in the Old Testament, now we can look back on that as an example. Those are good examples. And a lot of people look at them as just stories. They're not. They're historical facts that are examples to us as believers. And you can look at those things and you can see the Lord in every one of them. If you're looking for it. If you don't, a lot of them just sound like good stories. But if you look for an example there, you'll find what you need. And Genesis chapter 6 is a wonderful example of the story of the ark. Now, before I get started, I want to do a little introduction here. Most Bible colleges don't even teach this anymore. They say it's just a story. Seminaries, it's just a story. When I went to Bible college, even way back then, they told us that, and I went to supposedly the best they had, but they told us, you know, the Red Sea was not really the Red Sea. It was a misinterpretation. It was the Reed Sea. It was only ankle deep, and it dried up so that the children of Israel crossed. I said, well, that's a bigger miracle. Pharaoh and his whole crowd got drowned in ankle deep water. Horses, people, everything. Amen. I'm telling that's what, and that man claimed to be a fundamentalist that told that. And lots of examples in the Old Testament, they would just kind of try to explain them away. But let me tell you something. I believe every one of them. Amen. And I don't believe they're fairy tales. I believe they're real, actual, historical accounts. But now, if you're going to try to justify evolution, and we ought to call it devolution, if you're going to try to justify that, you're going to have to change a lot of the Old Testament. And this is one of the stories you're going to have to change, see. And so when I read it as fact because the Bible teaches us this is my example and I need to look at it, okay? This is a standard that we can go by. It's like when you're building a house, a blueprint. It's something you can go by, okay? Now, I'm going to skip through a lot of the verses because of the lack of time, but maybe today you'll go back and read all of it. Maybe you need to refresh your memory on that. Look at, we'll begin chapter 6, if you will, begin with verse 5 through 8. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Aren't we about back to that? But it repented the Lord. It repented the Lord. That means he had a change of mind. It repented the Lord, not of evil. He just had a change of mind. That he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. It hurt him so bad to look at his children that he was sorry he ever had them. Boy, that's sad. That's really sad. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But boy, there's that Baptist verse 8. But, we love it when it starts out that way, amen? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That word grace means undeserved favor or love, amen? Now skip down to verse, if you will, we'll go on down, verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence, and through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it or cover it with tar-like substance, a pitch, and shalt pitch it within the ark, within and without the with pitch. Now skip down to verse 17 again for sake of time. The Lord, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all the flesh wherein is in the breath of the earth. Now, they also taught us in Bible college it wasn't a worldwide flood. It was only local. From under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee, talking about Noah, will I establish my covenant. He said, I'm going to make you a promise. I'm going to make an agreement with you. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy wives, thy sons' wives with thee. Skip down to verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Father, help me today as I preach. Remove any hindrance. Open our eyes. Open our ears that we might see and hear thy truth. And open our hearts that we might receive it. And Lord, there's some young person here today, maybe an older person that doesn't know you as their personal Savior. Maybe they're just not sure. Today would be a good day to get that settled. Move on them, Lord. And then those of us who are saved, we're trying to live right. We're trying to serve you, Lord. I pray you would embolden us as we go out of here, God, like you did those 120 in the upper room that night. And they went out and preached the word, and people were saved. I pray you'd embolden us. Fill us with your Holy Ghost, with your power and your presence, that we might be disciples, not just hearers, but doers of the word. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to show you just a few things about this ark. Turn over to Romans 5, 8 and 9. Romans 5, verse 8 and 9. In chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, of course, it's New Testament. It's Apostle Paul speaking. But here's an example, I think, in verse 8 and 9. But God commendeth his love toward us. He sends it toward us, all of us. In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Noah was a sinner, by the way. But he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God commends his love toward us. While we were sinners, he didn't wait till we got better. He made us better after we come to him. Amen. Look at verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from, underline that word, wrath, through him. Now, that storm that came was God's wrath poured out on mankind. It had a specific purpose, which was to destroy wickedness and evil and sin and the people that did it off of the planet Earth. Now, I know Joel Osteen's never going to preach you that, but it's the truth, okay? Sin, the wages of sin is still death. The economy doesn't change that. Inflation doesn't change that. Lying preachers don't change that. The Bible's not changed. It never will be changed. The wage of sin is death. And listen, God's wicked. God's angry with the wicked every day. He pours out his wrath on the wicked. And one day he's going to melt the earth with a fervent heat. It's not going to be a flood. It's going to burn. Now, God's holy, God's pure, he's perfect. And God's not going to endure sin forever. He loves mankind. He created us. He loved us so much he sent his son to save us. Now, his son is like that ark. Think about this. Jesus is a whole lot like that ark. Some of y'all been to that copy they made of the ark. I've never been, but Belinda puts pictures of everything she does on Facebook. I saw it. And she puts on there what she eats and where she goes and the clouds and the birds and everything. And so I saw it, and it's a beautiful place. And it's a replica of the original ark. One day I might get to go there. But Jesus is just like that ark. Inside that ark, you were safe from the wrath of God. Now, we all once were under the wrath of God. We were under the condemnation of God. We were under the death penalty of God because of our sin. But one day, thank God, March the 5th, 1978, I broke out of that pew, the sixth pew on left-hand side church, Eastside Baptist Church, came down that aisle, and I came to Jesus, and guess what? I entered an ark of safety. I'm safe in him. See, now, I'm not safe in me. I'm no better than I ever was. Anything good in me, he's put it there. Amen. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God, just like Noah was a sinner saved by the grace of God. The difference between him and the crowd outside the ark is because they refused to listen. He preached over 100 years of the flood coming, and they refused to hear about the wrath of God. And so he entered that ark that day. And the day that he entered that ark, he entered safety from the wrath of God. Now, I used to preach at York County Chain Gang. I always enjoyed it. I preached out there many, 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 many years. I preached out there when it was still metal buildings and all that. And it was so hot in there, you could fry egg. But I'll tell you what, I preached many a good sermon. But one Sunday, Monday night, I always preached on Monday night. And I preached along these lines. And I said this, I'm eternally secure. I am safe in the arms of Jesus. Amen. And he said, you're in my hand, my hand's in the Father's hand. No man can pluck you out. I said, I can't go to hell. I said, if I go to hell, they're going to have to air condition it because he promised not to send me to hell. Amen? Amen. I'm safe inside of Jesus Christ. He's my ark of safety. And it's the same way in that ark. As long as you got in the ark, you were going to live. Outside the ark, you were going to die. That's a perfect example of Jesus Christ and the safety you'll find in him from the wrath of God. Amen. Now, a lot of people don't want to believe that. They want to find safety in their position in society. Or they want to find safety in their position at the bank, you know, money. Or they want to find safety in their position in religion. By the way, I don't have religion. I've got Jesus. I don't light any candles. I got no statues, no pictures. I worship a living God. Amen? Now, a lot of people want to find safety in joining the church. If you get saved, you'll join the church. But if you're not saved, that's not going to save you. Some people want to find safety in the baptismal pool. I'm a Baptist. I've never been anything else. I've searched them all out. And I know what I'm supposed to be. I am what I am. And I'm not changing. But I'll tell you right quick, you're not saved in the baptismal pool. You're saved by entering the ark called Jesus Christ. You come to him and he'll save you. And that's it. By faith alone. Now, Noah and his family, they found safety from the wrath of God inside that ark. When all their friends and probably family members from the wife's side, all of them were dying and screaming and begging and pleading, and it was too late. And I'm sure they could hear some of this from inside that ark. And then I bet they realized, boy, look what God saved me from. You know, I think a lot of folks, especially Baptists, forget what God saved you from. He didn't save you to have a sunny day. Everybody don't have a sunny day. Amen? There's a little woman somewhere over in Iraq or Pakistan or somewhere right now about to starve to death. A Christian woman who's probably living in a cave or a hut trying to scrounge up a few sticks to burn to cook that last cake of meal, and she's going to die. And listen, but she's going to heaven. And these TV preachers make you think if you don't have a new house, new car, and new clothes, and lots of money in the bank, then you must not be right with God. Well, I've got news for you. There's a lot of people that are right with God that don't have all that stuff. Right. But they're safe from the wrath of God. Amen. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Inside the ark was safety. Inside the ark was security. It was security. Jude don't have but one chapter, I think it's either verse 22 or 23. It says, now unto him that's able to keep you and present you faultless before his presence. Now let me tell you something. There's security in Jesus Christ, just like in that ark. Once they got on that ark, they didn't have to worry about anything anymore. God was going to take care of everything. All they had to do was rest in the ark. That's all they had to do. Just get in. And same way with Jesus Christ. I'm secure in Jesus Christ. Now, I've doubted a lot of things since I've been saved. I was saved in 1978. I've been through a lot and I've doubted a lot. I've doubted if I was a good husband. I doubted if I was a good father. I've doubted if I was a good employee. I doubted if I was a good preacher. I've doubted if I was a good Sunday school teacher. But I'll tell you one thing I've never had to doubt, and that's the security in Jesus Christ. He promised me, and I am resting in that security. I'm not looking for anything else. I have people, sometimes they tell me, they say, well, I've been to the Jehovah's Witness Hall. I said, why? They said, well, I'm looking to see what it's like. I said, I don't need to see. I've got something. Amen. Well, I've been at the Catholic Church. Why? I just want to see what... I don't need to see. I'm in the ark. I know what's out there. None of it's good. Amen? You're either secure in Christ or you're not. I'm not looking for anything else. I'm satisfied. Danny, I'm going to confess. We went to Burger King last night. And I got a cup. And I went over there and all they had was Coca-Cola products. And everybody knows saved people drinks Pepsi. I know, Danny. I know Pepsi's. I know. But I thought, well, I saw an advertisement for that Coca-Cola One. Zero. That's it. Zero. Zero. And I thought, well, they made that look good on television. So I stuck my cup in there and got about that much. I felt like BB on the bus, on the church bus that Sunday when we was giving out fruit baskets. And we come back the next week and picked her up. And we said, BB, did you eat all that fruit? She said, yeah, but one thing, that big old orange, I took a bite out of it and spit it out and throwed it in the ditch. It was nasty. It was a grapefruit. Wasn't orange, it was a grapefruit she bit. That's why I felt about that Coke Zero. I got a grapefruit when I got that, but didn't have any Pepsi. Then I had to drink Coca-Cola. But I'm secure in telling you Pepsi's better. And I'm secure in telling you that if you'll get in Jesus, you'll never have to worry about your salvation again. He'll get you to heaven. Amen? And then, did you know, just think about this. That boat was built in such a way that I believe, now I wasn't there, I don't know, but what I've read, I believe it might have been serene in there. I believe wherever the presence of God is, there's peace. Amen. And I believe even though the storm was roaring and the earth was flooding and everything was dying, I think inside that ark, it was just as peaceful as a mama holding a baby.
Amen.
I really believe that. Safe in the arms of Jesus. That's a little picture of what we have in Christ. It's like the ark. Now, think about the outside of the ark. Revelation 21:23, outside the ark. Think about this. Revelation 21:23. Are you kids listening? Listen to me. This is more important than any history lesson you'll ever get at school. We went to Carl Sandburg's place up there in the mountains yesterday. Beautiful place. Great writer, great poem writer. My wife and I love history. She loves books. And he was all about every room. The walls was covered with bookshelves. And it's a beautiful place if you ever get to go. And we went up there. But guess what? He owned, they told how many thousands of books he owned. It just, I can't remember. But every room was covered with bookshelves. Every room. And had thousands and thousands and thousands of books. And I love to read. I've always been a reader. Matter of fact, it inspired me to read more. But the greatest book you'll ever read, you got right there in your hands.
Amen. Yes.
That's the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. Now, those other books, I can enjoy them and agree or disagree with them. But this one is written, and I just got to say, amen, Lord. Amen. So read Revelation. Revelation 21, verse 23. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now you know what? Outside the ark, it was dark. Just think of it. Clouds covering the entire earth. We're not just talking about little showers. We're talking about storm clouds. Black, dark, water pouring out. Water spouts from under the earth emptying up. And it was dark. But inside the ark, I think it was light. I think the glory of God was in that ark. And you know what? Before the earth ever had a sun, it had light. You know why? Because God was doing it. God was in the presence of it. Go back and read it. It was light before he ever even made sun. Because everywhere he is light. God is light. Amen. And look, you can't have God's presence without having light. God will bring the light. And they were dark outside. They were dark mentally. They were dark spiritually. And they were dark physically. But inside shone the glory of God. Think about it, Billy. They didn't have gas lamps. They didn't have coal lamps. What did they light the things with? Probably olive oil or something. I don't know. But how could they light that big old giant boat with fuel? I think the presence of God was in that place.
Amen.
I thought about it when I was younger. You know, all those lions and tigers and bears and all that stuff they have in there. And those things creep at night and they kill at night. And I thought about, you know, wouldn't it be kind of horrible to be in a dark place with a big old lion sitting over there looking at you for breakfast? But God was in that place. Now, God had separated himself outside of the place, but God brought the light. The day you got saved, I saw the light. Amen? The Apostle Paul, there on the road to Emmaus, all of a sudden, he was blind, but he could see. Listen, let me tell you something. There is a light that this world cannot see, and you won't see it until you come to Jesus Christ. And he'll take the scales off your eyes and your heart and your mind and your spirit, and you'll see things. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "For the natural man understandeth not the things of the spirit, for they're spiritually discerned." How are you going to know them until you get born again? Because you're spiritually dead in trespass and sin. Now, that wasn't anything but darkness and death outside of that ark, but inside was light. Just like when you came to Jesus Christ, there was light. But the sad thing is, John chapter 1, verse 5. Here's the sad thing. John chapter 1 verse 5 says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." What he's saying is God sent his son to a dark world, and this old dark world didn't even realize who he was. They didn't comprehend it. And those people outside that ark, I imagine they're blaming on global warming. Climate change. We shouldn't have had all them cows. They made cow patties and made that gas go up there, you know, and it blocked all kind of excuses because they were blind. They really didn't know what was going on because they couldn't understand spiritual things because they refused it. When God sent it, they refused it.
Right, yeah.
That's a dangerous thing, to refuse the light that God gives you. Everybody, Brother Derek, everybody's born with a little bit of that light when we're born. It's not hard to convince a child about God. I've taught my grandchildren, look over there, there's the moon. God made the moon. They'll say, "God made the moon."
God made the moon.
I'll say, there's the sun. God made the sun. They'll say, "God made the sun." And there's a bird. Look at that bird. God made that bird. God made that bird. They're not hard to convince. We've all got just a little bit, that seed of faith God puts in us when we're born, and that will cause us to seek out God. But the good thing is God's seeking us too, see. And he's seeking the people that need to be saved. And when he came to Israel, they had quit seeking God. And they made up their own religion. They perverted his religion, made up their own religion, and they weren't seeking God. And he came unto his own, Israel, and his own received him not. And the same way with the ark, all those people outside that ark heard Noah preach for over 100 years. He preached that the end is coming, the rain's going to fall, God's bringing judgment, and they probably laughed at him and mocked him. They probably had a Saturday Night Live skit on television making fun of him. The CNN people was probably calling him a lunatic and all that stuff. And listen, when they had the opportunity, they wouldn't receive the light. But now the light's inside and they can't get to it. Now you listen to me, sinner. If you're not saved, God's sending that light toward you today. You wouldn't even be here if you hadn't been following a little bit of light. Well, I got up that day, I got saved, and told my wife, I said, "We're going to church." She said, "We're going where?" That God had put something in me that day. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know anything about God. God had put that in me that day. We went to church and I got saved. Now, if you'll follow that little bit of light he gives you, he'll lead you to the light. Amen? But inside that ark, there was light, and outside there wasn't any light. And it wasn't because God's mean and hateful. God's gracious and loving. God had sent the light, and they refused the light they had. But Noah received it. By the way, I don't see where his sons received it. They followed their daddy. I don't see where his daughter-in-laws received it. They followed their father-in-law. You know why? You know what we need? We need some men in America, Christian men, that'll stand up and say, look, this is a Christian house, and you're going to church, and I don't want to hear any complaint out of you. You eat here, you live here, you wear our clothes, you drink our water, we pay for this stuff. When you get old enough to get a job and buy your own stuff and live by yourself, maybe you don't have to go to church. But as long as you live in this house, I'm the daddy. I'm the head of the house, whether you like it or not. God said it, and you're going to church, or I'll just whip you all the way there. I can't believe he said that. And when we get to church, you're going to pick up a song book, and you're going to sing. Wasn't so many amens on that. When we get to church, the preacher's going to preach, and you're going to sit there, and you're going to stay awake. That's free. That wasn't even in my outline right there. Let me tell you something. It's time some men stood up in America and started being Christian men again. And women, I'm not against you. I'm not against women. My mama's a woman. My wife's a woman. I have three daughters. I got granddaughters. I'm not against women. I'm all for women. Matter of fact, I think they're better than men are. I didn't make up how to run this thing. God did. Most time they're better Christians than I am. Come on, fellas. And Noah said, we're going in the ark. We're going to build it, and then we're getting in it.
Amen.
I don't see where they argued with him. Do you see where they argued with him? No, sir. You stay at my house, you're working. Man don't work, he ought not eat. You can't live in my basement, don't work. Preacher, I can't believe you say stuff like that. You ain't living in my backyard and the trailer and don't work. You ain't living in the storage shed and don't work. Amen? They call them tiny houses now. It's an excuse for a drunk not to work. But anyway, listen. They also got liquor sickles. They go with the tiny house. Y'all know what a liquor sickle is, don't you? That's a moped. The man's 70 years old and he's riding a moped. You know why, don't you? That's the same way he's living in a storage building. You know why, don't you? But hey, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I think his family saw that, Brother David. I think his family saw that God was on daddy.
Amen. Yep.
And fellas, that could be the problem, couldn't it? I better go on that one. I want you to know the outside, it was troubling. There was screaming, there was hollering, and there was no help, and there was no relief. Now, I want you to get this in your mind. This is not some little old fairy tale. We're talking about men, women, old and young, boys and girls, even babies. You say they didn't deserve it. No, they didn't. But their mom and daddy caused it. Nine times out of ten, you'll see problems with people that's going through the social system, welfare, whatever, all this stuff. It's not those children's fault. It's the parents' fault.
Right.
Now, you listen to me. You listen to me. And I'm not preaching something I've not practiced, okay? I don't preach things I don't practice. When we got married, I was lost. My wife was religious. She was raised in a good home. I was not. I was probably the worst thing ever happened to her. And then after we got married, we sat down, we counted the costs one day on whether she should go to work or stay home and raise our children. Now, ladies, I'm not beating you up. I just want you to hear it can be done. And she stayed home. Because we figured by the time you bought another car and by the time you bought more work clothes and by the time you packed lunches and gasoline, all that stuff, she was only going to make about $50 more a week. And we could live without $50 more a week or maybe I could get a little extra work. And we went through a lot of tough times. I'm telling you, I was out of work a long time because of standing on convictions and not working on Sunday and trying to go to Bible college. I was laid off several times. And times got tough. But my wife never complained, and she stayed home, and she raised our children. And she taught them to love their daddy. and respect their daddy. Now, I wasn't there a lot of times. I was either at Bible college at night, or I was at work during the day. On Saturdays, I was working for the church, and Sundays, I was working for the church. And I wasn't there a lot of times, but I'll tell you this. I'll guarantee you, if you men will take the lead, your wife will follow you. Noah took the lead. He got him inside. And while all those men and their families following them were dying and going to a devil's hell, a horrible death, Noah, the man that was right with God, was in the ark with his family, and because of him, they were saved. Now, I know it's the grace of God and all those things, but if he wasn't right, they wouldn't have followed him. God didn't talk to them. He talked to him. God didn't talk to mama. He talked to Noah. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a time in America where we... And I know they call us sexist, and they got some words I can't pronounce. Homogeneous or something. I don't know what it is. They got all kind of names. And now if you talk like I'm talking, you're a sexist, you're a racist, you're a bigot, you're all kind of homophobic and everything else. But I'm telling you, fellas, this is the way God set it up. And if we'll, hey, look, if we will take the lead, God will help us. Amen. I better go on. John 3:18. Billy has a way of putting amen where there ought to be a question mark. John 3:18. You don't have to turn there. He that believeth not is condemned already. Listen, everybody, anybody, whosoever will can be saved. It was the same then. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It was the same way then. But he that believeth not is condemned. That's the way it was outside that ark. Everybody was doomed outside that ark. Now you listen real close. Listen, I know I done went over time, but y'all made me do it. So listen. There's two kinds of people on planet Earth, saved and lost. And it doesn't matter if it's my youngin' or your youngin', or my grandchildren or your grandchildren. They're either saved or they're lost. Now listen, they're doomed and they're damned to eternal torment outside of the ark of Jesus Christ. I know we don't like to think about our children, our grandchildren that way. I know we don't like to, but that's the only way we can think. That's the Bible. And see, what we do, we smooth over our children, our grandchildren's sins, and we say, well, you know, guy robs a bank, kills three people, they go to his grandma, raised him, you know. And they go to grandma's house, and they say, what about your grandson? They say he robbed a bank and he killed three people. And she'll say, he's a sweet boy. He's a good boy. Well, of course he's good to grandma. She feeds him and clothes him and takes care of him. But he's a wicked, dirty, rotten sinner. And she'll never accept the fact that that boy's going to die and go to a devil's hell without Jesus Christ. And we as Christians better not get like that. Amen. They were doomed outside. It was troubling. It was dark. I got to hurry. John 10:28. John 10:28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now there wasn't but one way in that ark. One way. John 10:17 says, John 10:17 says this, They say unto the blind man, oh, I'm sorry, it's chapter 9. Verse 17 says, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. No man taketh it from me. Now listen, Jesus laid down his life to open a door to heaven. Another place he said, I am the door. It calls him the gate. It calls him the curtain. It calls him the shepherd. Now you listen to me. There's only one way to be saved. At that time, there was one way to ark. You were on it or you were not. Now, Jesus Christ, that was a type of Jesus Christ. Now, there's only one entrance into heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. Now you talk to these regular religionists nowadays, go over here to Methodist Church, Presbyterian Church, Episcopal Church, and you go over here to the Episcopal, a Lutheran Church or Episcopal one, now they have beer and Bible study, you know. Yeah. And they'll tell you there's many ways to heaven. And if you start condemning Buddha and Islam and all that stuff, they'll get mad at you. Even if they're not one of them. You know, if they put this sermon on CNN today, there'd be people over here protesting in front of our church. They want to firebomb us. Because I'll tell you, there's one door to heaven, that's it. There's no side door, there's no back door, there's one door in that ark, that was it.
That's right.
One door. Wasn't any exits. Once you got in, you were in, it was finished. And God shut the door. It wasn't even built where no one could shut the door. And the door wasn't on top. It was the whole side of the boat. There's a door in the side of it. Who would put a door on the side of the boat? Water would come in. You ever thought about that? And he pitched the rest of the boat. He never did pitch it after it was shut. God shut them in and he sealed them in. Ephesians says we're sealed. By the Holy Spirit of God, we're sealed in. That's type of Christ. One entrance. And by the way, it's not in the Bible, but I'll say it, once saved, always saved. There's no way out. If you think you can get out, then you never wanted in the first place. People say, but wait a minute, preacher, what if this, what if that? Hey, it's not up to you anymore, it's up to him. Eternally secure. God shut that door, and then by the power of God, it was sealed shut. And they couldn't get out. And nobody else could get in. And I don't know how that thing is y'all went look at, but the window was way up yonder. And the only thing to get out of it was a bird. There wasn't no deck to go out there and walk around the deck like they do the boat. Listen, they are you're eternally secured when you come to Jesus Christ, just like that ark. God shuts the door behind you. Once you get in, he shuts the door behind you. And listen, he's not going to let you out.
Right.
Well, preacher, I changed my mind. You didn't get it. If you got it, you think Noah said, wait a minute, Lord, I think I won't go out. You think 30 days into this journey, by the way, the journey lasts hundreds of days, not just 40 days and 40 nights. You think 30 days into the journey, brother David, he walked over and said, Lord, could I go out just for a day or two? I mean, I just don't want to be a Christian just for a couple of days. I used to work with this fella, and I worked construction. I was a young Christian. I didn't know a whole lot, but I worked with Duke Power out there construction, building a nuclear plant. That ought to make you get right with God right there. I helped build a nuclear plant. But one day, that old boy come in. He'd have a hangover. Oh, I got drunk last night. You know, me and all my friends falling down, throwing up drunk. We had a good time. Woo! And all them old potheads and drunks working with us, I said, yeah, man, we know what you're talking about. The next week, he'd come in and say, I got saved again. Woo! Got saved again. Next week, he'd come in and say, oh, I backslid. I ain't saved no more. I got drunk. Y'all want to go get a beer after work? The next week, he'd come in and he'd say, woo, I got saved again. I spoke in tongues. I run around the building three times. Woo! And then people looking at him, they're looking at me, and I don't know how to explain that. I've never met nobody like that. I wasn't saved that long myself. But I knew I didn't have what he had. I didn't want out. I was in. I didn't want out. Amen. He come in one day, I said, how'd church go yesterday? He'd done been saved for about 3 more weeks. You know them, don't you? And he come in. I said, how's church? Oh, it's wonderful. Said they got to singing. And God got on me. And I got up. And I run around the building three times. And I come back in. I fell down on the floor, passed out. I was thinking maybe he was on the other side. I said, anybody get saved because of what you did? He said, no. I said, what scripture did the pastor read? He said, I don't know. I said, what was his sermon? I don't know. I said, God wasn't in what you did. I said, you was in the same flesh that day as you was that day you was down there at the pool room getting drunk. Because when God puts you in, you get sealed in. Amen? Now, you might have some falling down. A good man falls, but he rises again. And you don't get off the boat just to go get you a beer and then come back. It's peculiar. It had one door. Everybody had the same opportunity to go in that door. Did you hear me? Everybody had the same opportunity. The door to heaven, whosoever will. Anybody. I mean, I got saved. Look at me. You got saved. Look at you.
Thank you, Lord.
I mean, he let us in. He'll let anybody in. It doesn't matter what color you red, yellow, black, and white, purple, polka dotted, striped. It doesn't make any difference. Doesn't matter if you're tall or short or fat or skinny, educated, uneducated. That's not it. You get in the ark, he'll take care of everything else. One door, one way to heaven. One way. That's it. And then there's one window. John 8:12. John chapter 8, verse 12. And, preacher. It ain't me, it's y'all. If y'all wouldn't sing so much and have so many announcements, we could get out of here. John 8:12. John, and wouldn't argue with the announcements you gave. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There's one door, there's one light. Muhammad's not going to be your light. Buddha's not going to be your light. Charles Taz Russell, who created Jehovah's Witness, he's not going to be your light. Joseph Smith, who created the Mormons, he's not going to be your light. Those are other lights. They're not the true light. Jesus Christ is the only true light. They'll light your path to glory. You come to him. Preacher, I don't understand the Bible. He'll turn the light on. Well, preacher, I don't understand all this stuff y'all talking about Christian living. Just get in. He'll turn the light on. And then, listen. Did you know there was no rudder? You know what a rudder is? That's the thing. I didn't say udder, I said rudder. Most of these kids don't even know what an udder is. But that udder, you got to handle it. It goes down in that water. It's like a big board, and it guides your boat. And did you know there wasn't an udder on it? There wasn't no rudder, I know. There were some udders in it, but there wasn't on the back. There wasn't a rudder. Listen, there wasn't a mast to put the sail on. There wasn't, what do you call that big wheel? There wasn't a big, what? Stern. There wasn't one of those. Steering wheel. That's a forward. Stay out of my preaching. If you're going to get in it, be intelligent. Listen, there was no way to guide that boat by man. God himself guided that boat. And let me tell you something else. There's no way to guide a life in Christ. People come to me, they say, Pastor, will you come see my son, my husband, my brother, my sister, and help them? I say, I know, but I'll talk to them about one that will. Because, see, we're not guiding our life anymore. He is. Some of you, if you hadn't gotten in Christ like they got in that ark, some of you right now would have been drowned a long time ago in this old sea of life, and you'd be dead in hell. But you jumped on the boat, and he's been guiding you ever since. Amen. That's why you ought to remember Thanksgiving. That's why you ought to celebrate. God guided. Did you know that He's the one that once you get in Him and you surrender to Him, now you have to give it all. You can't come down the aisle and say, "Lord, help me stop drinking. I don't want to be a drunk and save me." That's not the way it works. And a lot of times people come to me, you know, and they'll say, I need to get delivered from this or this. I said, well, you need to get delivered from sin and get saved and get in Jesus, and He'll do everything else. I used to tell the pastor, I said, "Pastor, when I quit lying, cussing, cheating, stealing, drinking, running around this crowd and all that stuff, you know, I'll come down to your church and I'll join your church and I'll be a Christian." He'd say, "Boy, you're going to die and go to hell. Because even if you could quit all of that and take control of your life, who's going to pay for what you've already done?"
Come on now. Yeah.
Now, He paid it all. He paid it all, Brother Ron. And then He didn't just stop there. He didn't just stop after putting them on the boat. He didn't put them on the boat and just let it go. He directed them. And when He saved you, you know what? When He becomes your Lord, He does the directing.
Amen. Yes.
I gave it up a long time ago. I don't even try to direct me anymore. I just say, "Help, Lord. Help me, Lord. I don't have enough sense. I'm like the psalmist. I can't even get up and get down, go in, go out without by myself. I'm like a little child. He has to direct me." And see, when I got in Him, I got in that ark, and He's going to direct me all the way to glory. And sometimes that might take me by the hospital, sometimes it might take me by the cemetery, and sometimes it might take me by the poorhouse, but He's going to guide me.
Amen.
And I'm on Him. But, hey, if this thing crashes and it sinks, I'm putting it on Him.
Amen.
If I die and go to hell, I'm going to wake up and say, "I'm in the wrong place. I had the right pilot, I had the right boat. Get me out of here. You promised me you'd take me to the Lord." Look, you get thinking like that and you'll become a real Christian. You won't be one of these little sissy Christians they got now. You'll be a real Christian. You'll be a soldier of the cross. And you'll stand up for Jesus. And you'll know it's right because He's the one that's directing you. Now today the question is, the door's open. Have you ever gotten on? It's still open. It's going to be open until that trumpet sounds and He takes us out of here. Then that door's going to close. Or it may be open until the day you take your last breath. Then that door closes. You have no more opportunity. I preached a funeral Tuesday night. About 12 people got saved. This place was full. Full. And the door opened. And a bunch of them jumped on the boat. They got in. But you know what? We say, "Well, how far is it to death or hell or heaven?" And I told them, I said, "It's one heartbeat from here. It's one breath. You're one breath from eternity right now. Your last one." And science is trying to figure out where heaven is and all that stuff. And the Russians went up there and said, "It ain't here. God ain't here. It ain't real." I've got news for you. The Bible says there's one step. Your last one. And you'll take one step here and the next one will be on the other side. And you better make sure you're on the boat when you take that step.
Yes.
In Christ. Let's stand. Father, I could preach all day on this.